We really thank you guys for coming. Kind of the purpose of today's call is, this is Ellen Ritter, and I'm the Dean of Students for the school. And when I talk to a lot of students, one of their biggest concerns really is how do they take their passion about coaching and turning it into a marketing platform that will allow it to be a practice. ILCT has a number of classes in business coaching. It starts during the foundations class, and most of those are self-directed. But we still have people with lots of concerns, so we're really using today's call to pick your brain about what other resources, what other help do you need in order to flourish as a coach. So we really appreciate your coming. You know, we will share some information afterwards through email with you guys. Some great stuff. Jim has been our business development guru for, 10 years and is also now our director of training. He's got some great stuff. But we also want to know, you know, do you want a mentoring group? Do you want to have, you know, like a student-led and run support group for marketing? You know, what are the kind of things we should look at in the next couple of months to really set up to help you to get your businesses going? So we're going to turn off, or Amy, actually, why don't you discuss how they can unmute just so we don't have everybody talking at the same time, and then we want to hear from you.
Okay, so this is Jim, and I'd like to just second what everything Ellen said and ask you for your best thinking about what you feel you need to be successful as a coach. Are we not providing, or could we provide better? We're looking to really get some insight. We could put something together that we think is good, but we want to be responsive to what you feel you need. So if you can give us some insight, just your best thinking in the moment on the subject, we would appreciate it. And we're recording the call so we don't lose any ideas. So who has a thought or a question or a comment about what they need to build their practice?
So I think that means you're not necessarily muted. Is that correct, Amy?
Sorry, I was muted too. It means that when you press star 6, it'll put you in a queue to ask your question so we don't have people talking over each other. Okay.
Great, thanks.
This is Carrie Vinson, and I'm taking Jim's foundations class, and it's fabulous. Can everybody hear? And I guess, you know, I'm kind of feeling like I don't know what I don't know at this point. But Jim had just, I guess my experience has been that I've been trying to keep up with just the assignments from Monday to Thursday, so I haven't had broader sight, I guess, right now. I don't know really how to say that. But, and I haven't had last class because that's tomorrow night. So maybe this would be covered in tomorrow night. But even if there was just some kind of, I did go back to the website, which I don't know why that didn't occur to me, maybe because I'm living moment to moment. But I did go to the website, and there are great materials on there that Jim has done, like marketing materials, et cetera. But maybe even during the class just saying, make sure that you're checking that stuff out. Like something very simple or just some kind of wrap up. I don't know. I don't know if that, you know. But so the question is, I think Jim just said it, is there something that is set up for mentor coaching already, like some reduced fee for people who are trying to start their business, or is there something signed up for peer mentor groups? So that if I wanted to get together like a mastermind group, but there's only so many people in my foundations class, is there a way to look up who else might be interested in doing that. So meeting like biweekly and just having some kind of advisory board on, hey, we're setting up our businesses and this is, and we're coaching one another through that.
Right, and I think it's a great idea, Carrie. And right now we don't really have one set up except for the, we have that private Facebook group for our students.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Where sometimes they will share. But I think the idea, and I'm writing it down, of a mastermind group, you know, that students could do would be, might be really supportive. It would be interesting to see what others think, if that's something they'd like.
Or even just a platform where people who are interested can go to connect with one another, because I know you don't want it too big.
Right.
You know, you want to end up making individual groups, but just somewhere where we could go to say, okay, together we can coach through what's next.
Right. And that's a great idea. So what do you guys think of a mastermind group? Interesting?
This is Lucille. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hi, how are you?
Hi. I haven't gone through the foundations class yet, but I was wondering, but I have some individual certifications that I wanted to get started in. But I was wondering, do you have like a timeline for implementing certain procedures in marketing or, you know, starting the business? Anything like that available? You know, like a step-by-step procedure?
Jim, I'll let you answer that. Okay, so maybe not. There are less step-by-step because it depends really, you know, are you adding into a current practice or are you starting from afresh, you know. But there are general things that one does. Even in the foundations class, we start with coming up with things like your elevator speech and figuring out who your ideal client is based on what you want to do. And a lot of it, in my opinion, once you've gotten that concept of being able to then start reaching out to, let's say, you know, people with facial hair that you want to work with, and how do you do that? And that's social media comes in, creating a referral, stuff like that.
Yeah, I was. Thank you, Ellen. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Ellen.
Yes.
Amy unmuted me. Thank you, Amy. I was talking, but nobody heard me. So. My response was immediately, yes, we have it, and no, we don't have it. And the reason I say it that way is because, you know, like Ellen was alluding to, there are certain parts and pieces that we know contribute to a full practice for coaches or other you know, people who are self-employed in the coaching industry. However, having said that, each person's situation is different. A lot depends. When you ask for a timeline, my thoughts immediately go to, well, my question is to each person, how much time do you have to devote to this? If you currently have a full-time job and you have kids and you have other responsibilities and you volunteer in the community and you do all these wonderful things, that's going to cut down the time you have to devote to developing your practice. So you have to be realistic and say, what I always tell people is it takes on average 18 to 36 months to build a coaching practice. Some people do it sooner, some people do it later. For some people, they're within 6 or 8 months they're up and running. For other people, it takes 6 years. Because they've got a lot else going on. So I think you have to be realistic in each person's situation and just realize that I told Ellen, I have what I call an 80-20 rule. When you're starting your practice, about 80% of your time is going to be devoted to building your practice and putting the pieces in place you need, whether it's an elevator speech or whether it's a website or whether it's a social media marketing or whatever it is that you're looking to put together, networking groups, et cetera, et cetera. 20% of your time will be devoted to actually practicing your craft, that is, providing coaching services. Eventually, over time, that flips over itself so that you'll end up spending 80% of your time servicing your clients and actually coaching, and 20% of your time building your business and practicing marketing skills and so forth. Now, all of that 100% is still dependent upon what else you got going on in your life. So when the question is raised, how long is this going to take, that just triggers a lot of questions for me about your particular situation. Does that make sense?
It does, and using timeline was a poor choice of words.
Mm-hmm.
I was more interested in a process, maybe maybe a step-by-step process. Do this. You need, and I know even that would need to be tailored individually.
Sure.
But I was more interested in a process, things that need to be done in order. You know, I put together one for myself, but I'm sure there are other ideas, that people have. And then coming from, the Institute itself would be the best ideas. So that's why I was asking, was there anything in the tools? I'm sure the classes would have, but is there anything in the tools that I could go to and, print out or whatever, like a checklist of things that need to be done?
Right.
And that's exactly what we're, one of a great suggestion, because we're really looking at, should we have more resources that are available? One of the things we have, and a lot of faculty don't tell the students, but I think it's fabulous personally, is that we run free calls every month, except in the summer. So on our website under resources, if you go to listening to calls on coaching, we've brought in a bunch of social media experts. So people who will talk about, how do I put my company up on Facebook, or what should I have on my website, or what are the ethical concerns if I'm running a psychology practice as well as a coaching practice and have a website. So those are also great opportunities to really start customizing based on you, and we keep those recordings available at all times, so you can access them whenever. And the other thing we're looking at doing, if people still have a lot of questions about social media, is starting up a whole new series on, what are the issues in social media? Because a lot of us, have no concept. It changes so quickly. Do we have to do Twitter? Do we have to do this? Do we have to do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's no really one-size-fits-all. That's the bottom line. The pieces we have, based on people's experience, we know what works and what doesn't for some people, but that doesn't guarantee it's going to work for everybody. And a lot of times, you start out with one thing, and then a friend suggests, have you seen this website, or have you seen this great new tool? And then all of a sudden, you're off and running in a different direction. And so that dissipates your energy and your attention and takes you off, not you, but whoever, can take you off the trail that you were on, when it was just beginning to bear fruit. One of the things I find over and over again is that people don't allow their marketing efforts to fully blossom. And what I mean by that is they don't give it enough time to really mature and develop, because they're on to something else, the next greatest thing. Well, trying to keep up with technology is like trying to get a drink from a wide-open fire hydrant. It's just constantly coming at you. And so you have to find just a couple of things that are working and stick with those and be very discerning and deliberate about adding anything more, or else you're going to find yourself just chasing after all kinds of things that will dissipate your energy and scatter your thinking.
If I could just put in one thing, I periodically will get a call from a student who's really anxious about marketing and getting everything set up, and they've found some new great person on Facebook who says, oh, yes, she can do it for you, and she'll guarantee clients, or you just pay a $3,000 a month membership or a $10,000 for a year of mentoring. Be really wary of those kind of sites. A lot of this you can do on your own. And there are a lot of people, because it's not a regulated field, there are a lot of people who know that marketing is a big concern for new coaches and presumably take advantage of that. And there's a lot, I believe there's a lot you can do on your own to build your practice without incurring really high costs like that.
Mm-hmm. Hi, this is Debbie. I think I'm in the queue to talk. Is this working?
Oh, yeah, good.
Hi. I have a question and a thought of a solution. One of the things that I've been facing is kind of this, I call it the coaching hinterlands at the moment, that I finished this great, fabulous training and support with colleagues and people to talk to, and all of a sudden I'm alone and my business partners are my two golden retrievers. And it's really hard to kind of find your way in the hinterlands to think, how can I get back to that excitement and enthusiasm that you have when you're a student and when you're training? And what also happened is I got to this space between getting the certification for the foundations course and then having to then take the exam for the BCC. And so I'm scheduled to do that in October, but in the meantime, I've been getting marketing and so on. But my point is that I wondered, because I can't get any listing on anything until I get a BCC qualification certification, is there a way that we could even just list recently trained students with the organization so that we have some list somewhere where somebody wanted to find us, they could. And that gives you some credibility. And even in doing my marketing materials, I kind of put the initials after my name because I don't have the BCC yet, but I just put, you know, trained at the ILCT. But I just wonder if there might be a way to kind of bridge this gap between qualifying as a student and then getting to the next level with the certification. And I know I'm long-winded, but the other part of that is that I can get all my marketing materials about me and whether people are going to find me a good fit. But the bigger picture I'm struggling with is, how do I tap into what marketing there is about life coaching as a being a benefit to someone? You know, you need people who are already thinking in that way. They're already thinking about a life coach. I'm never going to convert them to life coaching on my own. So how do I, you know, what I might convince them is I might be a good life coach for them, but they're already in that mindset to make that decision. Does that make sense?
Oh, it makes a lot of sense. As for our doing a referral list, ours is really tied to credentialing, which I know is sort of frustrating. But it's an ethical issue, just because we need to make sure, you know, who we're recommending is people who've passed the test or whatever.
Right.
But there are different ways, like putting it out on Facebook, or when I started my practice many years ago, I really built up the referral stuff to my website. I was doing Empty Nest Moms, so I wrote like 3 or 4 short articles on Empty Nest Moms. And there are all these fabulous free article directories. And you put them out there, so somebody's searching for Empty Nest Mom, they'll find it. You can refer them back. You can have a whole, the nice thing is it has a whole blurb about who you are, so you can say, you know, I've gotten my training at ILCT and am pursuing the board certification, and here's my website, and I'd love to talk to you, you know, stuff like that. And that can really build, and it's free. So I'm Scottish, mm-hmm. very cheap, Scottish. And that's nice. And I ended up getting picked up by newspapers, mostly one of the Boston papers, just because they needed to talk to somebody who had written about it.
So is this a blogging?
It's called, they're called free article directories. If you put it into your Google bar, there are thousands of them. And they basically, okay. you write articles and you can submit them. I went to ones that were more geared towards like parenting, life transitions, and women, because that's who I was mm-hmm. working with. And yeah, they will let you just put it out there and you put in the keywords, and then when someone's searching for whatever your topic is, your article will pop up.
Okay.
And it's
a great
way to sort of build things. Mm-hmm. The other thing is there are resources for information on why is coaching great. There is the Library of Professional Coaching, which is entirely free. The ICF website also has a lot of articles. They have a magazine called Coaching World. You know, and you can always use those things as long as you don't infringe on copyright. So, you know, as seen mm-hmm. in, or as, you know, the ICF did this research and found that 90% of people who did coaching were fabulous. As mm-hmm. long as you're using the right attributions to who did the work, you can use those. And they're usually okay. organizations and other coaches are thrilled when you mention them.
Well, you mentioned earlier this idea of a student-led mentoring mastermind group. I actually took it upon myself to find one. I contacted one of my instructors about mentoring, and she put me, Lori Hupp, put me in touch with a group that already started. But it was really my own initiative to do that, and I think that's something that would be really good for everybody if we could know that these groups exist or how to find them. And like you were talking about early, you know, making a start of the list or somehow for people to access it.
Yeah, no, that's a great idea.
That definitely would be helpful because it's been really helpful to me. And I think it's the isolation factor. You know, you're alone. You're suddenly, you're not using free conference call anymore. it makes it nice to have colleagues of some sort that you can just bounce things off. And they make you accountable to what you think you're going to do, you know, whatever marketing you're doing to build your business.
Yep. The other, I would just add to that and say that the ICF and other organizations have local chapters
mm-hmm.
in many places, and if you haven't checked that out, you might check and see where the nearest local chapter of ICF is for you and go to a meeting or two and make contact with other coaches in your area. And find
yeah,
out what
that's
they're doing.
Something I've been trying to figure out.
mm-hmm.
I think
well, if you go to the ICF website, you look under chapters, they'll have them listed by state probably, and you can find where your local one is or nearest one is.
Okay. Yeah.
And then
great.
And then we can talk about working on your dogs so the training so that they can give you better answers. So you're not so lonely.
That's
but seriously, true. I mean, even I face the same thing. I mean, I'm in isolation here at home alone as a solopreneur. And I have other coaching friends and colleagues that I've developed over the years that I talk to virtually on a daily basis, sometimes several times a day. And
that's what's missing. Yeah,
yeah,
that's
we provide that support for each other. So I hear what you're mm-hmm. saying. I get it. And you do have to do it for yourself. I mean, you know, not just you, but anybody. Once you're making a transition into full-time coaching, for example, that water cooler talk from your previous job on Monday morning is gone, and there's
mm-hmm.
a void. So you have a new need to build community for yourself with like-minded people who understand your situation and can not just commiserate, but also share resources and things of that nature. So it's a good thought.
I did reach out to a lot of
behind our Facebook page is to allow students, even when the classes are over, to stay connected.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I was also struck by the kind of interesting way that therapists don't become referral sources for life coaching, in my experience so far. I thought that was going to be a kind of outlet for referral sources, but I think it's kind of an interesting conundrum how you navigate the therapy life coaching world. Mm-hmm. And I think it's also hard because we're not insurance reimbursable. A lot of people that would be referred only can use that means of payment. So that's another thing that kind of cuts you off in your tracks.
Yeah. Well, the other thing I would say is don't try and sell coaching to people, because people, the average person who's not a coach or a wannabe coach, doesn't wake up in the morning and say, oh, I got to go look for a coach today. It's the furthest thing from their mind. What you have to do, whether you're writing articles like Ellen suggested or something else or reaching out, you have to talk to people about their situation and what their life experience, what they're facing, and then talk to them about how what you do can assist them to get further faster than they could on their own. And, you know, I rarely use the words coach, coaching, help, or helping when I'm talking about what I do for a living, for that reason. Because number one, my clients are self-sufficient. They don't need help like a rescuer. I call coaching a caring profession, not a helping profession, for that reason. I'm not here to rescue my client. I'm here to assist them and partner with them for their success, whatever that means for them. And so if you kind of tweak your antennas so that when you talk to people, you're listening for what's going on in their life, their world, and how what you have to offer can begin to assist them through asking good coaching questions, et cetera, then you're going to get a lot further than if you just try to talk to people about coaching.
This is Kathy. And
yeah, Kathy.
The thing said it was my turn to ask my question.
Go ahead.
So.
Go ahead.
Okay, so actually when I was putting in the keys, then the first person that asked the question brought up the whole mentoring group thing, and it's come up again. So I am currently in Edie's foundation class, great class. Several times she has talked about when she got started, she had a coach that was a mentoring coach. And when you were first introducing, you know, what this call was about, you talked about, you know, do you want to talk about mentoring? So, yes, I want to know how you go about that. What do you do with getting a mentoring coach to help you get your business launched?
Yeah. Well, that's a great question. And I've got to tell you up front, I've got some biases about it, and here's why.
Okay.
The ICF has changed their guidelines. They have certified mentor coaches. I'm one of them. Edie's one of them. And I guess what I'm saying is now they are allowing people with an ACC credential, Associate Certified Coach, to mentor other coaches. Some of us who have been around for a long, long time look at that and say, really? you've got a problem where, as I see it, and this is my bias, I'm owning it, where a lot of times a coach who hasn't been in business that long themselves is now telling other coaches how to build their business and calling themselves mentors. And that's a problem. I would say I know Edie very well, and I know her former coaches, and she and I coached each other for any number of years. And so I can tell you from experience that the best coaches all have mentor coaches. Pat Williams, who founded ILCT, had a mentor coach. I still have a mentor coach. I've had many of them over the years since I got into this in 1994. And I don't see how people do it without a mentor coach. To me, it's just the same kind of necessary expense as your training program or anything else. You know, if you were going to be in business, of any kind, like a donut shop or whatever, you'd have overhead expenses. And that's how I kind of look at mentor coaching. It's an overhead expense that actually saves you money in the long run, because a good mentor is a threefold process. They will help you with your personal inside-out work and foundation. They will assist you with building your business, and they will assist you with skills development. And a good mentor can do all those things, but not if they've only been in business a year or two themselves. Does that make sense?
Total sense, yeah.
So, you can find
caution.
Mentor coaches at ILCT through the faculty and or Ellen, and you can also find mentors on the ICF website.
All right, so my follow-up question to that is, when do you suggest someone get into having a mentor coach? I'm about halfway through the foundations course.
Mm-hmm.
So
I had my first mentor coach 2 months before I started my training for coaching.
Okay.
Okay.
So
my answer
good,
is
huh?
my answer is yesterday, and get
yeah.
and don't be afraid to ask questions, and make sure you get somebody who walks the talk and who has references that can point to success stories.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Great.
And
thank
if
you.
I can just do a quick clarification, because ICF has changed what they define as mentor coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so for ICF and the mentor coach, they are not supposed to be doing business development. They're supposed to be working on your core competencies, sort of like your foundations teacher is going to do in your peer groups. They're not allowed to, when you're looking at ICF requirements, if that's something you're pursuing, know that business development, personal development are not included in what the ICF now considers to be acceptable mentor coaching hours. Just a clarification. It's just semantics, but
they're putting a lot of hire
a mentor coach who does business development, go into
right.
the ICF, and they go, "Oh, those don't count."
right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Their bias now is toward the core competencies. That's
right.
what they're stressing. Yeah. But the idea of also doing that won't necessarily get you clients.
The idea of groups, that support group, is important.
It is very support, very important,
yeah.
And the competencies, listen, I'm all for skilled coaches doing a good job, but you can be a great skilled coach and have no clients. So you need a combination of things. Yeah. There is a book I could recommend to you, all of you, called The E-Myth Revisited by Michael Gerber. It's a classic little paperback. And it's not per se about coaching, but it's about going into business for yourself. It's called The E for Entrepreneur, Myth, M-Y-T-H, Revisited. I get no commissions. But he does a wonderful job of explaining how when you work for someone else, you have to make a transition in your mind in working for yourself, because now, whereas the organization you worked for did all of their advertising, marketing, reach, outreach, and so forth, and had their bookkeeping systems and their everything else systems in place, now you have to do all that for yourself as an entrepreneur. You have to do your marketing. You have to deliver your services. You have to do your own bookkeeping and record keeping and so on and so forth. So you're really creating one hat for many hats, and I think a lot of people, that's a shock to them when they take on going into business for themselves. So I just recommend that little text to you.
Hello, this is Terry.
Yeah, Terry.
Yes, thank you very much for that resource. I appreciate it. I'm a past graduate, and I totally feel and understand where the coaches in training are coming from. And I'm also validating everything you said about the 80-20 rule. So what happened with our group Some of us followed each other in the footsteps of the next course, the next course. And then by the time we were finished with our coaching education, right before we left, friends of friends got to talking, like, how do we actually become, you know, coaches that are, that have a client? I mean, we're hoping for a couple of clients. Mm-hmm. And so there were four of us that got together, and we stayed on freeconferencecall.com for over 2 years. And we were actually a support group for each other. We went through what is my niche, what I'm afraid to charge, how much do I charge, and who do I really want to coach? And or I coach this person, and I don't think this is where I, what I'm wanting or needing. And so I agree. It's taken me 3 years to get to the point of almost doing that flip now. And it is all about time and energy, and then realizing our purpose. So out of those four individuals, I'm the only one that is, you know, solidly grounded in coaching. The others have gone off in different segments but still use their coaching skills.
Sure.
So, so what I'm needing now that I'm ready for that flip is also support. And I think I've heard it through you that I really need to rely more on my mentor. So that's very helpful. Just a couple of things. I'll just do a couple bullets, and that would be the role of the therapist. I've joined in our locale a wellness group, and it's mainly therapists, but they've allowed two coaches to come in. And I found that in coaching, I need the therapist. Oftentimes, people will come to me not wanting to go to a therapist, and then I spend time with them until and working with them until they're comfortable enough to reach out to the therapist where they ought to be. So I'm starting a relationship now with therapists, even though they do say they're life coaches too. They see that we both have our specialties and relationships. Relationships, people would ask me, what are you doing now? And I would tell them, hey, I'm a life, and now I've developed into an ADHD coach. And now, 3 years later, I have a person that has remembered me and has seen me on various occasions, and we chat mainly about our dogs. And now she's saying, you know, I think I really need to come to you for coaching. So it's a progression, and it has taken 3 years.
Sure.
So that's
well, good for you for hanging in there.
For you.
Good for, yeah.
Yes. Great. And I love it. I truly love it. But I'm on the flip side now. So
mm-hmm.
I thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate your sharing. Anyone else?
So that's a good takeaway of you can do it.
Yeah.
It just takes some time, as you said earlier, Jim. And referrals are so important, you know, and just being able to express, like, I'm an ADHD coach, and they come back and go, oh, you know, it may not be immediate. And having a referral for therapists, especially those who are transitioning, mm-hmm. especially with the ethical codes, you need to be very careful of do you handle it or do you have somebody you give it to, and helping that relationship grow can be very beneficial.
Hi, everybody. This is Rebecca. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yep.
Hi.
Hey. Here was my question. I would love to see, well, it's really more of a statement, but I would love to see, you know, maybe even a whole class on ways that you can partner with other businesses to bring some clients in. And also, you know, Jim knows, he just finished teaching me in the Coach Approach class, so I'm inevitably going to have law on the brain since I'm a lawyer. You know, maybe going into some of the nuts and bolts of, you know, contracting and potential issues, you know, that arise from running a business and ways to protect yourself as somebody who's running a business. I'd love to see something about that, you know, ways to write out your contracts, you know, perhaps even some, you know, some references or source material for contract drafting and ways to partner with other businesses and contract with other businesses for referrals. And additionally, I thought, you know, maybe some more nuts and bolts about pricing, you know, certain, you know, ways to structure packages or to, you know, whether you should accommodate people based on, you know, the cost of living where they are, et cetera. So these are just some things that I'd like to see more of, and I would love some suggestions about how to partner with other businesses.
Great. Now, some of that, I think, should be in your library.
Mm-hmm.
We have been advised, and you're the attorney, so you know this better than us, not to give out a contract, but we have, I think, 8 or 10 sample contracts that are in the Coach Approach and Foundations Library, and it's one with a different background. So while mine is going to say, you know, while I am a therapist, coaching is not a substitute for therapy, I'm assuming you're going to put in, while I am an attorney, coaching is not about. So we've sort of put together the stuff along with, you know, what you should look for. If you're a nutrition coach, you need to know that there are actually states that don't allow you to give nutritional advice. So we've been trying to build in so that people can start customizing it to their own, because it's like the question about, is there one blueprint on how to market? There really is, because there's so many different steps. But some of that's in your library, and that's one of the things I'm really hoping is that we can build more resources, like you were mentioning, to put in the library, like reaching out to other companies. I know we've done a call on how do you reach out in your community, and so, but that may be something we start looking for more pieces to that.
Okay.
And so that's a great suggestion.
Awesome. Thank you.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
This is Kim. Hi, Ellen. This is
Kim
Green. My question was about, it was mentioned actually, but I'm trying to get a little deeper about this whole mentorship thing, and I'm wondering how it's possible to be paired up with a mentor based on ILCT and you all kind of knowing the students and then knowing their interests, and is there any way that that could be put together? That was what one question I have. And my other question is, I have been writing the blog on the website, and I'm wondering that maybe it would be helpful to write a blog about this very topic and then also put it on free article directory, the free article directory, and then maybe that will have people, you know, create some energy around new coaches trying to find clients, because I've finally decided what I'm going to do with my coaching, which I'm going to coach writers, because I think that is a much of more natural fit for me, and so I am kind of interested in how I can do that, and especially in Georgia. So regionally, is there any way that the school can kind of assist us in getting into our regional communities?
Again, we have, and I love the idea of you blogging about it. We'll talk about that because that would be fabulous. We've got the student Facebook page, so people connect locally there. You can also go, if you go to resources and you go to our coach referral page, you can search for people in your town or in your state or in the specialty. And I will bet you there's actually one on there who actually coaches writers. that you can reach out to. These are fellow students who have gotten their credential or their certification so they can be on the referral list. There are ones who are mentors. There are ones who are on there who will meet. And there are a lot of people even in the Facebook coaches community that we've set up who are business coaches who would love, you know, will exchange coaching services for mentoring because they want to work with somebody who, you know, wants to write a blog. Well, Kim, you could give them that idea, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there are ways, and it's just, you know, taking advantage of the resources we have and then letting us know what other ones that we really need to develop.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got, there's a group of you in like, the Atlanta area. I mean, it's a pretty big population for us.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay.
And as Jim mentioned, there's also the ICF. You
uh-huh.
know, they have an Atlanta group. So going in there would be interesting.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Karen. Can you hear me?
Hi. Yes.
Yes. Hi, Karen.
Great. I love everything everyone's been saying. I've been taking all these notes. It's great. So now I have, like, three questions.
Good.
I guess one straightforward question. I'll just shoot them all at you and then be quiet. So the most straightforward one is, how much should I expect to pay for mentor coaching? The second one was a comment on the mentor groups. I love that idea and the hinterlands. I'm a student right now in foundations, but I can relate to that as a therapist. I'm a therapist in private practice right now, and I would love to be able to connect with other students or other people just ahead of me on the path who are also therapists to help with those specifics. And I haven't been on the Facebook group, so that sounds like a good place to do that, but any listserv places or anything that can be set up for that, I would love. And then the third one, which was my original question, was, and again, maybe Facebook could help with this, but what I struggled with most here in the beginning is kind of getting up-to-date perspective. I'm a big book reader, and that's what got me to ILTC to begin with, was the books on how to transition from therapist to coaching. And I'm reading Lynn Grodzki's right now, but it's from the late 90s, and the profession has changed so much that I don't really know what is new good advice and what has changed and what is oldies but goodies, and kind of getting up-to-date information about the coaching profession and how to be a coach in it is just having that perspective, I think, is what I'm needing the most right now.
And coming from psychology, the amount of research and kind of support stuff in coaching is so much less at this point in time. I mean, you can really see how it's a new profession, so that some of those books from the 1990s are still, like, the main thing. But maybe having a, probably best in the Facebook group would be to do, you know, what books have you recently, you know, we can ask students, what books have you, would you recommend that were crucial to your coaching, and start building a list like that.
Yeah, and just knowing you're reading the seminal book, even if it is 20 years old, like, that's helpful right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, of course, this industry needs people to write books desperately and do good research, just in case any of you are motivated.
Hi, this is Anne.
Yeah.
And I feel like most of my questions have already been answered. Thank you to everyone. My only thought that I'd like to add is that I would love a synthesis of the ideas that have been mentioned. I'd love to have some sort of set of structured resources along with a peer group with someone from the ILCT faculty who is keeping track of us a little, someone we could send our questions to if I were interacting with a peer group every Monday morning, and then we were able to look at a certain page on the ILCT website that sent me to these resources. And if we had a question, we knew to whom we should go to get that answer. To me, that would give me the foundation that I needed to build my business. And that's all.
I like the way you structured that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a great idea.
This is Carrie again, and whomever was just speaking that they are a therapist, I would love to connect with you because I feel like, but I don't know names or anything. But so one of the questions I had is related to the coaching hours that we're supposed to be getting. If we do a session with a current therapy client, but it is a very coaching session, meaning it's all future-oriented, it's using the skills and the techniques that we've been learning, can we count that as a coaching hour, or is that still therapy?
Are you going for your BCC or your ICF credential?
I would start, I'm just in foundations right now, so I guess at first I'd be going for my BCC.
Then yes.
I can count it.
Mm-hmm.
But ICF I could not.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, ICF, it really depends in their definition of what the client understands as their purpose for being there is.
Okay.
If they came to you under the rubric of therapy, then you're doing therapy.
Okay.
No matter how you do, you know, there are many different kinds of therapies.
Okay.
Well, the ICF new rules requires that they actually need to be under a coaching contract with you.
Right.
Okay.
For it to count, or a coaching
okay.
agreement. And so you're obviously not having a person under agreements with you at any point
sure.
in time.
Sure, but a BCC, I can count those
yep.
hours. Okay,
yep.
perfect. And, yeah. And
you and I will do that at the end of your training.
Okay.
Together.
Okay, that would be great, Ellen.
Yeah.
Okay.
And everyone, just if you're coaching, even if you're not getting paid for it, track it. You know, we in your ILCT library at the bottom, there is a client tracking form. The state of Oregon 3-4 weeks ago talked about licensing coaches. Now that's done it. And so I'm really encouraging everybody, even if you're, you know, just doing pro bono coaching, keep a running track from now on, because we don't know what states are going to look for. And it may be that even if you don't hold a credential, if you've done 2,000 hours over the last 5 years, those hours are going to count. So, you know, doing your due diligence of really just, you know, setting up a very structured log so that you're putting everything in, and we even give you the form in the library.
Hi, this is Jane. And I think I was next
okay.
to you for a question. Hi. I don't really have a question, but I have a suggestion for, I know I'm in foundation now, and our instructor has suggested, you know, this is a great book, et cetera, et cetera. I know there's a lot of books that are referenced in our textbook at the end, and I've highlighted a lot. But is there any way to have something maybe on the website once we're done with at least, like, the foundation class, or if we want to just research certain, without having to Google it or go to Barnes & Noble and look up coaching or something like that, maybe just have a reading list or a library list on the ILCT's website?
That's a great idea. Yeah, we could, a number of people seem to really want to build our resourcing. So that may be one of our fall projects, is to really get suggestions for recommended books and then put something. A lot of what you guys, while we put stuff on the website, most of the resources that we provide are all in your libraries.
Right.
And so they, and ideally you'll have access to that as long as the internet's around. It doesn't end when your class is over. And so mm-hmm. just building up, my view is if we can start building up resources that are there for you anytime you want to access them. And I think a reading list with quick links to the books, maybe who recommended it and stuff and what it covers, would be a great idea.
This is Karen again, and Carrie, I'd love to connect. I'm at karen@krtherapy.com. And I also wanted to see if you guys could share how much I might expect to pay for mentor coaching.
Yeah, great question. I mean, it's like any other coaching in the sense that you've got to negotiate with the individual coach. I would say make sure that the coach has a good track record, as I mentioned before, of assisting other people to build their businesses, if that's your goal, or getting better skills, if that's your goal, et cetera, et cetera. The going rate, my understanding for most mentoring, is somewhere between $300 and $600 a month. And, you know, a PCC person at ICF may charge you a little less, maybe $250 to $450, something like that. An MCC is going to run you between $350 and $600. It just depends on, you know, do they have student rates? Don't hesitate to ask if they have student rates. Bartering is always good if you have something that they could use as well. And so I would say that's the ballpark figure. In most cases, although I'm not an attorney like Rebecca, I've hung around enough with them to ask the question, is this tax deductible? And in many cases, it is. So ask your financial planner or your CPA or whoever does your taxes, because it may be a legitimate business expense for you and or part of your training, if it's going toward certification. So anyway, but that's kind of the ballpark of the gamut, and there are other situations, like there's group mentoring as well, which would be less expensive, perhaps. So it just depends on, you know, who you're talking with and negotiating with them as you would with any other coaching service, okay?
Thanks.
Right, and that's sure. What ILCT hopes to do. We have a mentor class to meet the ACC requirements, so working on your skills. But being able to pull together, and it, because that $300 is a ton of money, so it's like 5.5 hours for a lot less. Anyway, so whether we could set one up so that, and I forget, Jane, I think it was, just said, you know, where the students are working together, but there is a mentor advisor. And so we could build that in so that we could help reduce the rates for people who are just starting out and run it as kind of a combined group with mentoring. Might be one of the things to consider, because I know for a lot of people, if they're, especially if they're getting credentialing, the idea of doing $300 to $500 additional a month is a lot until they start making money. So we can work on seeing what else we can set up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the other thing I would say is be careful about, while we're on the subject of money, be careful about overextending yourself in the beginning, spending lots of money for things that produce little results. For example, I know some coaches who have spent a ton of money on things like renting office space. That's not necessary by any means. You don't get walk-in business as a coach, as a rule. And I know coaches who've spent tons of money on web design and things of that nature. There are inexpensive ways of doing those things. And, you know, I think the most important thing anybody can have is a mailing list. I would say, and I tell my mentees this, start out by asking everybody you come into contact with, would you like to be on my mailing list? Even if you don't know yet what you're going to send them, just say, I'm going to send something of value each month or whatever the timetable is, and you can unsubscribe at any time. Make it easy for them to get in, easy for them to get out. And the reason for that is because then you build a cadre of followers and raving fans of yours that will send you referrals. And that's the mother's milk of marketing, you know, it really is. So repetition is the mother's milk of marketing. It always has been, it always will be. J. Conrad Levinson of Guerrilla Marketing says it takes 9 significant contacts with people before you can turn a stranger into a prospect. and potentially into a client or referral source. But you've got to have the 9 contacts, so having a mailing list makes that easier. But it still takes time. But
and I was just looking at Webly, Tim, which is an organization that offers free websites. They're really beautifully done, and there are quite a few. You don't have to spend millions on websites. But they were saying that point email lists are actually 40 times more effective than social media. So building that email list, you know, writing, sending blogs out or interesting articles you found on other sites really is so much more effective than tweeting.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, there's an old saying, the money is in the list, and that's true. It's true.
This is Debbie.
Yeah, Debbie.
I have a couple of questions. One is, I'm really struggling to clarify my niche, or how important really is that versus just trying to coach? And the other question is, I've toyed between whether or not to get the office space, which you answered that, which is great, or to work at home. And to work at home, how safe is that? What's the security? Right now, what I'm seeing and getting mostly from referrals and word of mouth is one-on-one face-to-face coaching.
Mm-hmm.
That mine is coming from word of mouth more than anything else at this point.
Well, good for you. That's great.
But
a couple of things.
I hesitate to market like to the treatment facilities or the other facilities, not knowing who I may bring into my home.
Right. Well, a safe way to do that, or a safer way to do that, would be, and I know coaches who've done this, maybe the local library has a meeting room, or some other facility has a meeting room. I knew a coach that used the back room during the day at the local IHOP because he knew the manager. And the manager would let him meet his clients there. And, of course, in return, he encouraged people to have breakfast or lunch with him there. My point is that he created a win-win situation. But he had a public space where it was semi-private or at least private so that people weren't overhearing the conversation, not open like in a Starbucks or something, but more of a private room. And yet it's still a public building so that there are people around if safety is a concern. So I hope that helps.
And I would be cautious about bringing people into my house.
Right. Yeah.
You know, finding a kind of a neutral territory.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe at their place of work. Maybe they have a room or something that you can go there.
And the phone is fabulous. You know, there's a lot of research that supports the use of phone in working with your clients. People are actually, they're more relieved. They don't have to travel somewhere to an office. They're able to be in their own home. They're more relaxed. People are used to the technology of phones. And you can easily use one of the free teleconference lines or, you know, get another number, like a Google number, stuff like that, if you don't want them calling your home.
Right. And with regard to your question about niches, I would say it's been my experience that the coaches who have a niche or develop a niche or more than one are more successful than those who just throw it out there like a big net and say, I'm a life coach. The reason is, if you know who your target audience is and you've clearly defined that, then you know about them, what they subscribe to and read, the kinds of organizations they join, and that helps your networking, the types of things that concern them, the ideas that are keeping them up at night, things of that nature that you can learn to speak to, and if it's industry specific, or if it's, you know, people say, well, you know, people, I'm a transition coach. Well, what kind of transition? Are you a divorce coach? Are you a coach who is dealing with people with chronic illness? Are you, you know, people are always in transition. What kind of transition are you talking about? And so I think the more specific you can be, and again, that doesn't mean you can't coach other kinds of people. It just means, given your preferences, here's the population or the segment of the population that really excites you to work with them. So I would start by asking you what your passion is and who are you passionate about working with, and then go from there.
This is Jane, and I was next for the question. So I actually wrote down two thoughts, and one was niche coaching versus, you know, specializing in an area versus just keeping it kind of general as a new coach, just to see where I might want to, you know, hone my coaching skills per se. So thank you for answering that question. That helps a lot. And then the other thought I had was I Googled some stuff here in town for me, and there's some places that I could actually, I think, I did this correctly, actually become part of a coaching company, coaching team per se, as I build up my own personal clientele. So is there a yay or a nay to doing that?
Well, I would just say ask good questions, you know. For example, mm-hmm. I've known many coaches who have done things like being a Tony Robbins coach or a so-and-so coach, a Jack Canfield coach, or whatever. You want to know what their structure is, what their fee structure is, what is your percentage for each person that you coach, how many clients can you expect them to give you or not. Mm-hmm. A lot of it depends on are you credentialed or not, and so on and so forth, and by whom. You know, it always strikes me as funny that some of those work out well for a few people, but most don't, based on my experience anyway in dealing with people like that. So I would say just be careful, you know, buyer beware. And it may be mm-hmm. good for a transition or for a period of time, but I would caution you against relying on any other organization for building your own business, because then it's really not yours. It's no
right.
different than working for someone else.
Well, I'm definitely
there
trying to get away from
do
that.
Really well, because let's say you're doing wellness coaching, you're working with a spa, and they're referring to you.
Yeah, that's
as two people are coming in for a wellness coach. So I think, as Jim said, you really have to figure out, you know, what is it that you're committing to? What will they offer you? And then what do you feel mm-hmm. comfortable with, you know? And just because you decide that you're going to be a wellness coach this week, as you're going out, most people, you know, as you grow in your coaching, remember that you're not always tied. If you do a website, you're actually supposed, doesn't have to be perfect the first time out. You're actually supposed to be updating your website, making changes so that your rankings go up better, if that matters. So I know a lot of students struggle with, I have to know exactly what the niche is going to be for the rest of my life and all the wording, and that's not necessarily true, because you've got to be open to growing. I still think niche is important for marketing, but it can change, it can grow, it can expand.
Sure. Yeah, when I started out, I had no niche at all, and now I have like six of them. But I developed them over time. Based on my interests, based on the opportunities that came my way. And I probably said no to as many as I said yes to over the years. Just because I gravitate toward one thing doesn't necessarily mean I want to do this other thing as well. So it really is about you and how you want to structure your business. Think of it as a pie chart. If you have an income pie chart, what percentage of your income do you want from this niche, and what percentage from another area, what percentage from maybe group coaching or individual one-on-one coaching or, you know, licensing materials or whatever it is you're doing. And it all adds up to 100% ultimately. But you get to decide what pieces of the pie you want to have in your chart. Okay?
This is Kathy again. And Jim, thank you for the recommendation of the E-Myth Revisited. I already ordered it on Amazon, so we're good to go. And Ellen, you mentioned a resource for doing websites, but my phone crackled and I didn't hear what you said. What was that you were saying is good for building, helping you build your website?
There are a lot. One of the ones I have, well, I've used a couple, but Weebly, it's like weebly.com, does free websites. There are other places. I used PowWeb when I started out my business because they'll give you a free website as long as you're hosting your site with them, and it was like $3 a month. So there's a lot of different options. And nowadays, the idea of setting up a website for me was absolutely terrifying. But they are basically drag and drop, and they've already created the pretty look and everything. There are a lot of them out there. There's coachingwebsites.com. They're a little bit more expensive, but some add marketing to them and others do not. So you just need to kind of look and see what the options are. Putting together a list on organizations that offer websites is a good idea, too.
It is a good idea. Things like that. And the other thing I would mention to people is virtual assistants. Don't overlook them. They can be worth their weight in gold to you. A good virtual assistant can save you a lot of time, energy, and money. I have one virtual assistant that does my website and another one that does Facebook and stuff like social media for me. And I barter with them. I coach them, and they do other things for me. So it's a win-win. And so you, if you want to see the different things different virtual assistants can do, I would say go to assistu.com, A-S-S-I-S-T, and the letter U.com, and they train virtual assistants there. It's not the only place, but it's the one I send everybody to because I know the owner, and she and I went through Coach U together years ago, and she understands coaching well. And you can read there about what virtual assistants do and how they do it and so on and so forth. So that's another possibility.
Great. Thank you so much.
Uh-huh.
Anyone else? If not, we really thank you for coming in and sharing some of the things. It's pretty inspiring what we can start putting together for everybody. And we will, I've got all your emails of people who signed up for this call, so we'll keep you in the loop. Maybe we will work on connecting all of you guys to set up the mentoring support mastermind groups that we've talked about. Jim and I'll look at, because Jim would be a fabulous mentor to work with a group like that. And so we will keep you up to date. And I'll reach out to the schools, but if any of you find resources that you think everyone should know about, you know, you can email Amy or I or Jim, and we'll start building these lists. And anytime you have an inspiration that this is something else you need, please don't hesitate to let us know, because we want to help all of you grow the practices you want.
So thank you, everybody. We appreciate your time and your input.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Oh, it looks like Ellen.
Amy.
It looks like we have one more question if you have time.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely. Sorry about that.
Okay. Nope, no problem. 1 second.
Hello. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes, we can.
Oh,
sorry.
Thank you. This is Mona. I didn't know how to use this particular system and figured it out finally. So,
yay.
So a couple of questions. One, Jim, I think you said it was Assist You, and it was A-S-S-I-S-T, and is it the letter U? I didn't hear that part.
Yes, the letter U and then .com. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you for that.
Sure.
And then, Karen, if you would, could you repeat your email address? I am a therapist transitioning to coach in the Northeast Atlanta area as well, and my email to you bounced back, so I didn't get your email address correctly.
Someone else came into the queue here, but you're going to be muted when I unmute her, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Hi, this is Karen, and my email address is Karen, K-A-R-E-N, at krtherapy.com, and I'd love to connect with any therapist.
And if you guys go to the coaches community, it's on the bottom of all my emails, or let Amy and I know. We'll give you the link to join. We have over 500 people in that group, and a lot of us are therapists or counselors or are struggling with marketing or are designing websites, and people are commenting on each other's websites. So that's another great resource. Anyone else?
Okay, before we wrap up, let me just say thank you again, and I have a mantra for you to remember. My mantra is, if it moves, ask if you can coach it.
That's
and I'm
good,
not kidding. I'm not kidding. All right, thanks, everybody. Take care.
Thank you, guys.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.